Chapter 1 and verse 2. While you're finding that, I would just like to take the opportunity to say it's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight and to be able to bring the word tonight. And I thank Pastor Linda for giving me an opportunity and thank my lovely wife for listening to me and encouraging me and believing in me because God knows I need it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." You may be seated tonight. So when I was younger and I began to read this passage of scripture, I didn't have a very good understanding. And part of that is I didn't understand the word vanity. My only connection to the word vanity was, I think, it was either my mom, maybe my sister. They had what was called a vanity set in her room. I think it was my sister. She used to sit there and fix her hair. And just fix her hair, that's it. And, you know, I guess now that I understand the word vanity, I understand why it's called a vanity, because you're looking at yourself and, you know, trying to make yourself look better. Anyway, so I had this silly understanding because there was this vanity in her room, and there was a mirror. And then I read this scripture, and it says, "Vanity of vanities." Well, in my young, childlike mind, the only connection I made with that was Snow White, where I think it was the Wicked Witch or whatever. I don't remember the evil character, whoever it was. She stood there, and she said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And so when I read this scripture, "Vanity of vanities," I thought it was like, okay, mirror, mirror, there we go, I get it. Which I guess kind of makes sense a little bit. But to help us understand a little bit better, I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, "Everything is meaningless," says the teacher. Completely meaningless. And forgive me, because I'm a West Virginia boy who grew up in North Carolina and ended up marrying a country girl from Mississippi, this title may not be grammatically correct. But this evening, I would like to speak on this thought: stuff ain't enough. Stuff ain't enough. Before we get into it, let's just take a minute and pray and ask God to open our hearts and help us to receive this word tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just reach deep down within us, Lord. Help us, oh God, to be good soil, Lord God, that this word as it comes forth, God, would fall upon our hearts and begin to grow and take root, Lord God. Help us, Lord, just to be everything that you want us to be, God. Help me, Lord, I pray, God, to be a vessel that you can speak through tonight, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to receive this word, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stuff ain't enough. We see in verse 3, and the author is Solomon. Solomon, we see in verse 3, asks the question, what do people get for hard work? Well, then he immediately transitions from this question into a little bit about life and about how life is cyclical. In verse 4, we see that he says, generations come and generations go. Verse 5, the sun rises and the sun sets. Verse 6, the wind blows from the north into the south. Verse 7, rivers run to the sea, and then and back again through evaporation, then rain, back to the rivers, back to the sea, this cycle that we see. And then we see in verse 9, it says that there is nothing new under the sun. So again, back to verse 3, this question, what do people get for hard work? Hard work leads to more hard work. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. Hard work leads to more hard work. And I'll get a little bit more to that a little bit later. But there are four areas that I saw through the book of Ecclesiastes, which I didn't realize it at the time, but this kind of has become a study of Ecclesiastes in a way, or at least some of the thoughts in Ecclesiastes. So there are four areas of stuff, if you will, that ain't enough, that Solomon addresses. We see he addresses wisdom, he addresses pleasure, he addresses work, and he addresses wealth. He addresses a few others, but I would like to focus on these four this evening. Okay, so first we see that he addresses wisdom. Now, if you know anything about the Bible and the authors of the books, we also know that Solomon is also the author of Proverbs. And if we look to Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 5 through 7, we see he says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." So we see from this passage of Scripture that we should seek after wisdom. We should seek after understanding in everything that we do. But if you skip back to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and look at verses 17 and 18, we see it says, "So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly, but I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. The greater, or to increase knowledge, only increases sorrow." We see that it's like chasing the wind. You never really get there. When you get to a certain level of understanding, there's more understanding to be had. So greater wisdom equals greater grief, and greater knowledge equals greater sorrow. Why is that? Because you will never, ever know enough. You'll never arrive. You'll never be there. So why is it a sorrow? Because the more that you know, The more you know, the more you know you don't know. So there's grief in that. There's also grief in understanding that when we seek after knowledge, if we were to seek after knowledge and just knowledge, or wisdom and just wisdom, then that's it. That's all we're ever going to have, is knowledge and wisdom. We're never going to have anything beyond that. See, we push our kids to learn all they can, to go to the best schools, to get the best teachers, to get the best education, do the best in their class, to be the best. Is this wrong? Absolutely not. We should be our best. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." Whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. So seeking after wisdom isn't a bad thing. But if that's your end goal, then that's your end goal. That's all you're ever going to have, is wisdom. Giving your best and being your best is not enough. Because at some point, you will come to the realization that stuff ain't enough. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You see, the more you come to find wisdom and knowledge, the more you understand your need for God. That's the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to be seeking after. Because if you seek after the knowledge and the wisdom of this world, then you're never going to be satisfied. The knowledge and the wisdom of this world will only bring you death and destruction. But if you seek after the knowledge and the wisdom of God, then you will have life everlasting. Amen? So then we move along to pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. Solomon said, "I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless." We seek the things that make us feel good. We seek after that job title. We seek after the best wife, which thank God I have that. We seek after kids. We'll leave that one there. We seek after cars, we seek after education, different possessions. We may even find ourselves seeking after drugs and alcohol. It just depends on what path that we take and what decisions that we make. We begin to seek after these things. We see in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 4 through 8, it says, "I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, bought men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. We see that Solomon literally has everything, anything and everything that he wants, and he's not satisfied. He's seeking after the pleasures of this life, and he can't find anything to satisfy what he's searching for. We see in John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." So we have three things here in this scripture. We have the lust of the flesh, things that we want, and things that we can get. We have the lust of the eyes, things that we want and we cannot obtain. And then we have the pride of life, things that we have, things that we've achieved, that are the focus of our lives. We see, again, in chapter 2, we saw many things that Solomon had. He had so many buildings, so many people, so many possessions, so many things. And yet that was where he found his fulfillment in that period of time, was in those things, and that was it. Once, like, if those things were gone, then his pleasure was gone. If those things were gone, then he had nothing else to look forward to. That was it. But we see in Ecclesiastes 2 and 11, it says, "But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere." He came to this realization that everything that I have, even though I have literally everything I want or could ever want, it's not enough. It's meaningless. It means nothing. Because he understood, or he came to the realization, that stuff just ain't enough. We see in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." You see, we can search this world over and we can get all the possessions that we have. We can be like Solomon. We can be the king of all. We can have it all together, or so it looks like. And we can have every possession that we could ever want. We could do whatever we want, whenever we want. And we could think, you know, I've got it made. I am there. But if we don't have a relationship with God, then we have nothing. Because stuff just ain't enough. It's not enough to fulfill our desires. It's not enough to fulfill our needs. It's just not enough. It may fill the gap temporarily, but it's not going to fulfill you for a lifetime. It's not going to fulfill you for an eternity. So we need to be careful not to be focusing on stuff too much. And, you know, as I was preparing for this, I kind of was trying to be led of the Spirit to give us something tonight that is kind of for the season that we're in. We're in this Christmas season, and what is it that we see every day? All day, every day. Okay, so here's something interesting. Last time my wife spoke, it was Halloween, and she told you all to keep an eye on me and not let me go buy a bunch of candy. Because, you know, at midnight on Halloween, they sell candy for half price or something like that. So I was like, that's tempting. But I knew I'd have a bunch of people, like, trying to keep me from doing that, so I didn't go. I thought I was going to beat the system, and so I waited till the next day. Well, I waited till the next day, and I went in, and all the candy was full price, and it wasn't even Halloween candy. It was Christmas candy. I was so disappointed and let down, but that just goes to show that we're so focused on stuff and getting stuff, and the cycle of, you know, making money, as, you know, big companies do, that we're so focused on stuff, and we want stuff, and the companies know that people want stuff, and so they put stuff there so people will buy stuff. Because they understand that there's a hole in us, and we're seeking with everything within us to fill that hole, and we're gonna try to get as much stuff as we can to fill that hole. But it's never going to be enough. But they're taking advantage of that, and they know that. And so the point of this tonight is to not get consumed with the hustle and bustle of this season, or, you know, this season aside, just life in general. I mean, hello, it's, what is it, December 5th, 2018. I feel like I went to bed yesterday and it was 2016. It's going by so fast. It's going by so fast. And there are so many times and opportunities that we have to just get consumed with stuff. And we get so caught up with the things of this life that we lose track of time, and we wake up one day and, whoa, what happened? And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but that's okay, because this is good. It's good for me. Let me just say that. It's good for me. So next we see work. He talks about work. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18. I came to hate all my work, or my hard work here on the earth. Can I get an amen? For I must leave to others everything I've earned. This is an interesting thought. I remember when I turned like 15 or 16, I wanted a car. It's like, Mom and Dad, I want a car. Because I thought a car meant freedom. I didn't understand. I thought a car meant freedom. So, thankfully, my parents said no to the car, which gave me a couple more years of actual freedom without the car and that responsibility. But once I turned 18, I wanted a car, I needed a car, but I had this kind of catch-22. I needed a job to get the car. Well, so I get the job, I get the car, we're doing good, we have the cycle. I go to the job to pay for the car that I used to get to the job to pay for the car. It's interesting. Then I get a little bit older and I'm like, okay, I've had enough, I want to move out. So I, you know, get to move out. I go to college, which is, quote unquote, my own place, my own space, whatever. Yeah, just looking for that freedom, looking for that next thing. So I worked hard to go to college. I won't say how hard I worked in college, but I'll say I worked hard to go to college. But the whole time, I had a job that was paying for the car that got me to the place, which was being out of the house, which being out of the house required the job again. Okay, then what's the next step? What's the next logical step? Get the girl. Yeah, let me tell you, that one's expensive. That one's expensive, which again requires the job. So we're back to, you know, see the cyclical thing that he was talking about at the beginning, it's just happening all over. So, and then I have this other point in here, which this one, you know, I'm good to wait on this one, but this one says have kids. But that's kind of the way, the progress of things. So you get the car so you can get the job. You get the job so you can move out. You move out so you can get the girl. You get the girl wants a better car, so you get a better car, so you're back to that square. Well, then all of a sudden you have kids, so you have to get a bigger car, so you're back to that square again. So it's just this cycle, and you work so hard. You work so hard. You work so hard to get to all these different levels, and then you wake up one day and you're 50 or 60 years old and you realize, I don't have anything, which doesn't matter because I don't get to take it with me anyway. But even if you've worked that hard, gone through all of those steps, and you have so much accumulated, you don't get to take it with you. All of your work is in vain. We work our whole lives and we can't take any of it with us. We spend so much time working towards our goals that ultimately don't matter. Yes, they matter in the moment when they happen, but they ultimately don't matter in the grand scheme of things. So why do we focus on working so hard to do those things, to obtain that stuff, to fill that hole that's never going to get filled by that stuff? So let's not get caught up in our work on the earth that doesn't matter. Yes, you have to go to work. I'm sorry. I do. Tomorrow. It's going to happen. But that's not our end goal. Our end goal isn't our career. It shouldn't be. because it will be your end goal. That's it. That's all you'll ever have. But our end goal should be to get to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. Because honestly, stuff just ain't enough. So then moving on to the next section, we see wealth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Those who love money will never have enough money, or have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? Can I get an amen? Amen. So this is interesting that we've gone through these different stages that he's taken us through, that we started with wisdom, we went to pleasure, we go to work, and then we end up at wealth. But here's the thing, is we work so hard to find wealth in order to bring us pleasure, but we get none of them. None of them will ever fulfill us to the point we need to be fulfilled. They will never fill that hole that's in us, that God-shaped hole that we need a relationship with him. Because stuff ain't enough. See in Matthew chapter 20 or 6 and verse 24, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." You can't serve God and seek after God with your whole heart and serve things and stuff with your whole heart. It just doesn't work. The math just doesn't add up. So at some point, you've got to let go of the stuff, because stuff ain't enough. Stuff's not going to do you any good. You got to let go of stuff and start reaching for the thing that's truly going to matter. Start putting your time and your effort and your money, your resources, your energy, everything that you have into the kingdom of God. When you give to the kingdom of God, yes, God will give you stuff to help you be fulfilled in this life. But that's all. It's going to give you enough to be fulfilled in this life, and that's it. And that's good, and that's great, because our goal is greater than that. Our goal is greater than just come and work in a 9-to-5 job until we drop dead, and that's it? Really? No, there's got to be more. I think Brother Brian said something like that a couple weeks ago. There's got to be more than this, right? Because stuff ain't enough. So there's this Jewish minister, rabbi, I guess. I don't know if he's really a rabbi. I think he's Judeo-Christian. So anyway, that being said, his name is Dennis Prager. He has this online university called Prager University. How original. There is this one lesson on there. It's called the missing tile syndrome. And the premise of the lesson is that if I were to get a really tall ladder and take one of these tiles out, if I would have done it at the beginning of service, probably most of us, our attention would have seen that empty hole in the ceiling, and we would have been focused there. We may have missed the Bible reading. We may have missed the wonderful three-minute exhortation by Brother Paul. We may have missed offering. We may have missed the worship songs. We may have missed it all because we were focused on that missing tile. And in this lesson, he gives an example of he was in search of the right one, the right woman for him. And he would go out on all these dates. And he had this really good friend that after every date, he would come home and he would call his friend and he would say, "Hey, I finally figured it out. I figured out what the most important characteristic in a mate is." And so, you know, he did this, you know, 4 or 5 times. And, you know, the one time it was kindness. One time it was looks. One time it was friendliness. One time it was that they had a lot of money. You know, if they had these certain characteristics, then they were the right one. So then he goes out on this other date and he comes home and he calls his friend. And his friend's like, "Hold on. You don't tell me what you think the most important characteristic is. I will tell you." And he's like, "Wait a second. How do you know? You don't even know who I went with. How do you know what the most important characteristic is going to be? And his friend says, the most important characteristic that you think a person can have is the one that the person you were with tonight did not have. The point of this is that we get so focused on the thing that we're missing that we forget about all the other stuff. We get so focused on that God-sized hole in our lives that we forget about God. We forget about our relationship with God, and we begin to look to other things. We begin to look to other people. We begin to look to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to pornography, to whatever. We look to all these other things to try to fill that hole because that's where our attention is. But what if we took our attention off of what's missing in our lives and put our attention on what should be in that place in the first place? If we'll do that, if we'll get rid of all stuff and realize, come to the understanding that stuff ain't enough, then we'll be more fulfilled in our lives. And if we're seeking after pleasure, well, hello. What did it say here in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11? Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. We'll find everything we're looking for if we come to the realization that stuff ain't enough and we stop searching after stuff and searching after the one thing that will fulfill us like we need to be fulfilled. Amen. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to look to the story of Jacob. Most of us probably know the story of Jacob where he lied to his father. He put on, I think it was lamb's fur, and he rubbed in, you know, the smell of dirt because his brother Esau was the one that was supposed to be blessed. Isaac was blind, and so he was trying to get the blessing of his father. So he goes through all of this. He goes through all of this, and he goes before his father, probably tries to, you know, scruff up his voice, make himself sound like Esau, and he goes before his father, and he receives the blessing. He takes the blessing that's not his because he's searching for something. He realizes that there's an emptiness, and he thinks that the emptiness is the blessing. The emptiness is the stuff. And so he does everything within his power to take the stuff, to get the stuff, right? But then we jump down to Genesis chapter 32, and we see verses 22 through 27. It says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled with a man with him until the break of day, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Why on earth am I bringing up the story of Jacob? Because in the first instance, we see Jacob going after the stuff. In the second instance, we see Jacob going after the relationship. How do we see that? How do we see him going after the relationship? He's about to cross over and to meet with his brother, who he had done so wrong so many years ago. And he had obtained everything that his brother was supposed to have, but he was not fulfilled because he didn't have that relationship with his brother. So here we find him at a place where he's about to go across and meet with his brother and have that relationship once and for all. But there's one thing that he has to do. There's one question he has to answer. What is your name? Because in the first instance, he lied. He tried to be something that he wasn't to get something that wasn't his. But in the second instance, we see that he had to admit who he was, admit his weaknesses. Jacob means deceiver. He had to acknowledge that name in order to receive the thing that he had been looking for so long in the first place. I wonder if we could all stand tonight, what would happen if we would come to the realization that stuff ain't enough, and that everything that we're doing to try to fill that gap, to try to fill that void in our lives, is never going to fulfill us. What we really need is that relationship. What we really need is that connection with the God, the creator of the universe. Not just the universe, but your creator. The one who gave you life. The one who gives you breath right now. The one who is desiring to have relationship with you tonight. So I wonder if we could come tonight to this altar and begin to pour ourselves before him and acknowledge who we are. Acknowledge, yes, God, I know there are some voids in my life. There are some things that I'm missing. There's some areas where I don't have it all together. There's areas that I know that I need you. There are areas that are they're gapped. And the only thing that's going to fill that gap, the only thing that's going to fix me is you. So if we could come tonight and just pour ourselves out before God and say, God, stuff ain't enough. I know that stuff ain't enough, and I know it's not grammatically correct, but I know, God, there's more to life than the things of this life. There's more to life than the physical things that I can have. There's more to life than even the other relationships that I can have, God. But I need to have a relationship with you, and I need to call upon you and just be in relationship with you. God, because if I will do that, if I'll put aside everything else, every distraction, stop trying to fill that void, fill that gap with everything else and have that relationship with you, then everything else will fall into place. So God, I want to come to you right now and I want to pour myself out to you and ask you, Lord, right now, God, to fill me, Lord, with everything that I need from your presence, everything that I need in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.